words of life that we so desperately need. The scripture this morning is the ninth commandment, or in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Again, reading verse 6 for the context, and then focusing our time on verse 20. Hear the word, the everlasting word of our Lord. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbors. I'm going to ask the young people to come up front. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who knows what this is?
A flashlight.
A flashlight. Very good. Do you know why I need this flashlight? Because I have a dog.
Where?
You, not here. You've seen it and you see her all the time, right?
Yeah, her name is Susie.
Susie, that's right.
Yeah,
now, don't ever tell her this, but Susie is a little dog. She thinks she's big and fierce and mean. And when I take her out at night when it's really dark outside, she loves to chase other animals. Armadillos, cats, and her favorite are deer. But one of these days, she's going to chase an animal who's going to chase her back. And on that night, I want to have my flashlight with me so I can see what's coming towards us. Because as soon as someone chases Susie, you know what she does? She runs and jumps in my lap. And if she jumps in my lap and whatever's chasing her is coming at me, I want to sizz. Because if it's a skunk, I'm going to run. They're not that fast? That's good to know. I appreciate learning that. But do you know what else? What's more powerful, darkness or light? Light is. No matter how dark it is, even the smallest little flame or a small little flashlight is way stronger than the darkness. And do you know what the Bible says is darkness? Lies. And do you know what the truth is? Light. And what's more powerful, light or darkness? So what's more powerful, lies or truth? Truth. What? You saw us just this week and said hi to us. That was very nice of you. What? So, okay. So, our command today is, what are we supposed to speak? Truth or lies?
Truth.
Truth. So let's go back to our seats or to Children's Church to learn better how to do that, okay? Thank you. Begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that your word is true and faithful and powerful and eternal. Even now, give us your spirit because of that finished work of Jesus. Help us to grasp him as the word and to live in the light of your truth. Now and forever. Lead us, direct us, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Who do you trust? The older I get, that list seems to be shrinking. And more recently, it seems to be shrinking even more quickly. I read an article recently in Technology Review. On Facebook, they're the 20 most popular Christian sites are not run by Christians. Actually, that was a lie. I was wrong. 19 out of 20 of the most popular Christian websites on Facebook have nothing to do with Christianity. They are run by what are known as troll farms, who take other people's content that people love, put it on their website, And you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, then the next thing they post on their website has nothing to do with Christianity, but is trying to sway opinion or to get you to buy something or to get you to do something, like vote a certain way. 19 out of the top 20 Christian websites, 15 out of the top 20 websites for African Americans have nothing to do with African Americans. They're run by troll farms. And most people haven't a clue. That's the world we live in. I read a book while getting ready for this command called Strange New World. In it, historian Carl Truman traces the last 500 years, how we have moved from the reality of objective, lasting truth that everyone can recognize to the new definition of truth. That all comes from within me. And you're not allowed to disagree. I keep waiting for one of these people who actually believe this to say gravity is not real. But they never go there. But everything else they say is perfectly fine. And that's the world we live in. And the reality of all that is, when people grasp that more and more, there can be no society. Because if I can't depend on what you say and you can't depend on what I say, then there is no society. No reason to do much of anything. Remember our context once again, verse 6. The redeeming, all-powerful love of God that delivered his people from Egypt, but even more so, delivered them ultimately from sin and death. And he gives these commands as our redeeming, all-powerful God to help us live in right relationship with him and with one another and the rest of this world. In his blessings. This commandment is important because it's the foundation for all relationships with God and with one another. Creation and relationships require words. Let there be. And there was. There's the heart of who God is. What he says and is true and will come to pass. That beginning begins also with God explaining and defining all things by his word. John picks up on that and helps us understand that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Jesus was that Word, and nothing was made without him. And when he came, he made clear, if you abide in my words, you're not only my disciples, but you know the truth. And the truth sets you free. And then he added, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Words are important. Truth-telling is the very nature of God. Scripture celebrates that time and time again. When God makes a promise, he doesn't swear by the sun or moon or stars. He swears by himself. Because there is no higher authority, there is no higher place for truth than God himself. And that God has promised that all of his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. Truth, God's word, is essential for creation and for relationship. We know that humanity's brokenness and dysfunction started with a lie. Did God really say? The deceiver called into question whether what God said was true. Jesus defines that deceiver as the devil, and that he is the father of lies and there is no truth in him. To coin the old adage, how do you know when Satan is lying? He's speaking. He is the father of lies, a liar. Adam and Eve listened to his lie. And what's the next thing you see them doing? Lying. Lying, first of all, to themselves. I don't feel quite comfortable anymore. I think these fig leaves will help. Where are you? Well, we were just sort of playing over here, hide and seek. Haven't you heard of that game? What have you done? Oh, that was that woman you gave me. They're bubbling over with lies. Because they've listened to the father of lies, and they are now speaking his language. And the only one they fool with those lies are themselves. Which is true about most lies. It's a foolishness we inherit at conception. Because the deceiver is still very active, lying is a constant temptation. And when we lie, we bring destruction and death. It's in that context that God speaks this command. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, just a quick aside here. Neighbor. Some have argued, well, if you're not my neighbor, I don't need to speak truth to you. But let's be clear here. The word for neighbor is used in the Hebrew word for neighbor is used of close friends, partners, occasional associates, chance acquaintances. In fact, in Exodus 11, God says to go plunder the Egyptian neighbors. Same word. It has a rather broad meaning. If it's a human, it's a neighbor. It's not hard to understand. There is no excuse that a person isn't my neighbor and therefore they are not owed the truth. That's the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus makes clear for all of us. The command literally reads, "You shall not respond against your neighbor with worthless testimony." The language used here makes it clear that the original primary focus of this command is in a courtroom. Well, and again, in the ancient Israel, a courtroom was at the gate of the city or the main gathering place of the city where the elders would gather and hear accusations. Do not bear false, worthless, vain is actually the literal word here, testimony. See, testimony that does not move the case forward. Testimony that hedges the truth. That detracts from the pursuit of justice, that misleads, that gives a trivial response. All of that is included in this command. In fact, we get this because the seriousness of bearing false testimony is, if you do it, the penalty is death. That's how seriously God takes it. Now, again, the Old Testament recognizes all the variations that may bring this about, that you may want to lie because you're full of fraud and greed. You may want to lie because you hate that person you're speaking about. You may want to lie because everybody else is doing it or wants you to do it. It may be that you have favoritism towards somebody who can get you something or family loyalties. All those things are specific temptations to lie that are forbidden by God. In fact, God builds a protection, as we'll see when we get further along in Deuteronomy, that for a testimony to be believable, there had to be two witnesses. And in a death penalty case, the person who was the witness had to throw the first stone, again, forcing them to take it seriously. But the command is not just about the law court. God is true. Made in his image, we are all to be true. And so what's forbidden here are all lying. Slander and gossip, which is just a lie about a person's character, either directly or indirectly. Flattery and exaggeration. You're the greatest. We make promises, but fail to fulfill them. We're liars. A hypocrite who says one thing but does the other is a liar. We're in trouble. We're in trouble because the main point with all of this is to protect relationships. Where there's no truth, no integrity, there can be no real relationships. And isn't that the society we live in more and more? That's the warning that we have here. You know, we read the story about King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. When Ahab wanted to buy Naboth's vineyard and he refused to sell it, what did they do? They paid two people to lie and bring an accusation against Naboth, and they put him to death because of those accusations. God sent Elijah to let Ahab and Jezebel know he saw, and they would soon pay, which they did. It's easy to think about that kind of lying and say, oh, I haven't done that. But hear what God says to his people who are just like us. Through Amos, God said, you hate those who reprove in the gate, and you abhor those who speak truth. In that context, it was mostly the prophets that they hated who were God's spokesmen. Through Isaiah, God said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Sounds like an ad campaign, doesn't it? Through Jeremiah, God said, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Look and take note. Search. See if you can find one person who does justice and seeks truth, that I may then pardon the whole city. Though they say as the Lord lives, yet they swear falsely. That's what God says. That's why we need to take this seriously. If you've been with us on Wednesday nights, the Proverbs are full of warnings about liars and about the consequences of lies. Again, as we've seen with the other commands, it's not just the negative, but the positive here. That is, we are to speak truth, especially for those falsely accused, but in all contexts. And truth is that which glorifies God and blesses our neighbors, their reputation, their property, their honor. That's what we are to be about. James 5 puts it clearly, above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Imagine a world where you didn't have to swear by something else or sign in triplicate, but your word meant what you said. That's the world God commands. Now, that doesn't mean you have to tell everyone everything. God upholds the Egyptian midwives for not telling on the Hebrews who are having babies to keep them from being murdered. Same thing with Rahab and the spies. Jesus does not answer Pilate all of his questions. We are to be guided by the other commandments in our truth-telling. Through the Apostle John, Jesus makes clear the big picture. In Revelation 12, we read, the great dragon, the deceiver, the liar, was thrown down. The one who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They love not their lives even unto death. The deceiver no longer has a hearing before the throne of God because of Jesus' finished work. God will not hear an accusation about his children from the deceiver. But the deceiver has been thrown down. And so he can't talk to God anymore, so who does he talk to? Us. Constantly. Again, if his mouth is moving, what's coming out? All the time. But what conquers those lies? The name of Jesus. That's the word of their testimony. That's what John is talking about here. by the word of their testimony, they have conquered. Now, John does add, they loved not their lives even unto death. There was an earthly penalty for believing truth. And people, we live in a society where speaking truth is going to be more and more costly. Because it's going to be hard not to offend people because you don't know what their truth is. Because it's changing all the time. But Jesus, just ask any of the young children, what's the best answer for a Pastor Rob question? Jesus. What's the best answer for a Satan accusation? Jesus. Because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And through him and in him and by him, we have life and have been set free from the need to lie. See, lying is an attempt to take control of something I don't have control of. Lying is believing a lie that I'm in charge and that I should get my way because my way is going to bless me the most. Jesus has set us free from that lie. He loved you and gave himself for you. What along with him will God not give us? The enemy comes and tries to say, you know better. That's the lie. The truth is, Jesus is the all-wise, all-loving, faithful Savior. Listen to him. Proclaim him. Ask for his Spirit, who teaches us the truth and secures us in our relationship to the Father and the Father's love. And this is important. We cannot have community as God's people without truth. In fact, in Ephesians 4, Paul is celebrating that Jesus, in his ascension, gave gifts so that the church might do works of ministry. And it's as each and every part does its work, speaking the truth in love, that we all become like Jesus and that lies have no power over us. The more we speak the truth in love to one another, the more we become like Jesus and lies have no place to land. We need the truth to have Christian fellowship. But just as important is the other concern. Jesus has made you his ambassador, the ambassador of truth, his witness. Your character, you're not telling lies, you're speaking the truth in love, is essential, not optional, for being his ambassador. So, how do we grow Christian community? How do we bear witness? First of all, we need to know the truth. Laying up God's word in our heart. What we've been hearing from Psalm 119 again and again. Laying it up in our heart. It is a lamp for our path and our light to show us the way. Know the truth. Independence on the Holy Spirit. Secondly, keep on asking to be filled with the Spirit so that you might be wise. It's as the Spirit teaches and brings conviction about sin and righteousness and judgment that we become wise. Do you hear the psalm this morning? I am wiser than my teachers because your word. It is what we need with Holy Spirit power. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit that we might not just have the truth, but have love. Go read the Gospels again. Sometimes Jesus was so quiet and gentle. Sometimes Jesus wasn't so quiet or gentle. He was loving in each of those situations because the most loving thing was according to what that person's need was. And sometimes people need soft and gentle. Sometimes they need not so soft and gentle. A little child running towards a busy highway doesn't need soft and gentle. A scream is perfectly appropriate. Ask to be filled. Ask to be filled that your heart might be guarded from the enemy's deceptions. Again, he can't accuse before God, but boy, is he still active in this world. Until Jesus comes and casts him away forever, he keeps lying. And we need to have our hearts guarded by the Word, by the Spirit, so that we might stay in the truth. We need to be filled with the Spirit so the fruit of the Spirit are more and more ours that nourish and bless life with truth. In Colossians 4, Paul prays that your speech would always be gracious, seasoned with salt, full of grace, so you may know how to answer each person. We need the Spirit for that help. Third, we just need to be asking the Lord regularly for wisdom, discernment, mercy, and grace to know what word He would have us speak and how to speak it to each and every person, believer, unbeliever, whatever it may be. Fourth, we need the Lord's help. James 1:19, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Did you get where you're supposed to be quick? It's in listening. But again, we live in a society where that doesn't listen at all and just wants to have their say. But you're not to be like that. Quick to listen. Slow to speak and slow to anger. And then most of all, we just need to trust that the Lord's going to speak through us. My favorite saying, if He could speak through Balaam's donkey, there's hope for me. And there is for you. Amen?
Amen?
Lord, give us your Spirit. Teach us your word. Grow us in your grace and your truth. Set us free. Free to run in your commands. Free to obey this command to speak truth and to abhor lies. To glorify you and bless others with our speech. So work. And bring freedom and blessing and life to so many others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.